Matta Vindikijai. Gaura Premanandari. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, Om Magadhatta Mananda Shagavan Vishana Shagaya Chakshuddha Vinita Vigena Tazmai Shri Vedamaha. So today is the celebration of Gaura Purnima. Purnima means basically the full moon. So this is basically New Year's Day. For those of you who don't know, New Year's Day is not on Diwali. New Year's Day is not December 31st, January 1st. New Year's Day is Gaura Purnima because this marks the beginning of the new year, the Gaura year, Lord Chaitanya. So this morning we'll speak a little bit about the esoteric reason for Lord Chaitanya's advent. So there's two reasons why he came. There's the esoteric and the exoteric, and I guess I should explain what those words mean. So esoteric means hidden, that which most people don't know about. Exoteric means what everybody knows about. And that's what we'll speak this evening about exoteric, but because you're all devotees, you're aspiring devotees, and you're all on very high platforms of devotional service, we're going to speak about Lord Chaitanya's internal reasons for coming. Because whenever the Lord appears, he has his internal reasons. Of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, you have the statement, Purichanaya Sananam, Vinashaya, Jadushkutam, that Krishna comes to annihilate the miscreants and establish religious principles and protect the devotees. That's true. But Krishna doesn't have to come for those things. Every one of those things can be accomplished by Krishna's devotees. Just like all of us are sitting here today because of the mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who came to the Western world. Of course, this is not the Western world here, but somewhere in between. Fiji's like half Western, half Eastern. It's hard to figure out. Identity crisis. So, Prabhupada came to the Western world in 1965, started his preaching mission in 66. And because of Prabhupada's preaching, we have Krishna consciousness. So, of course, Krishna, let's say Vishnu Tattva Krishna, did not have to come down to do that. That was done by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Isn't it? Srila Prabhupada was able to accomplish that. Of course, Prabhupada is known as an avatar too. He's Shaktivesh avatar. The word avatar means to descend, to cross down, to come down from the spiritual realm. So Srila Prabhupada came down from the spiritual realm representing Krishna. But he's not Vishnu Tattva. He's Jiva Tattva. So, but why does the Lord have to appear? Why does the Lord appear if everything can be done by His devotees? Or His energies? Like His energies are perfectly capable of killing all the living entities. Like you see Durga. Many of you worship Durga. So Durga rides on a tigress, and she has her trident, Shishira, and she's piercing everybody, torturing all of us, right? Do you ever get sick? That's Durga. Did you ever have an accident? That's Durga. Did you ever die? Did anyone here ever die? Everybody died. Many, many times. Bahonam Jandranamante. Isn't it? So, That's Durga. So she's capable of killing you, she's capable of torturing you. Adiyatmik, Adibodhi, Adigaivik, miseries, miseries of the body and mind, miseries of other living entities, and also miseries from the weather and the material energy in general. So Krishna comes down for his own reasons. And his own reasons, at least the reasons that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came down for, actually, the reasons for all the incarnations of Krishna and appearances of Krishna, is simply to enjoy whatever Krishna does. He does to enjoy. That's it. That's his whole psychology. Krishna doesn't need a psychologist or a psychiatrist to analyze. But we need it. Why do we do different things? Well, we do different things because we have to. Why do you have to go to work? Because you have to make money. Why do you have to make money? Because your wife needs new saris. Right? Or your children need some food. Or you want to go to India. If Krishna wants to go to India, of course he's already there. But if Krishna wants to go somewhere, he gets on Garuda. Garuda doesn't charge him any money. It's not like an airline, you know, you get charged so much money to fly somewhere. So Krishna, basically he's independent. So whatever he does, he doesn't use mobile phones though. Whatever he does for his own enjoyment. So, of course, Krishna came down 5,000 years ago and he enacted his pastimes in Braj for his own enjoyment. Now let's talk about Krishna 5,000 years ago. Why did Krishna come down 5,000 years ago to Braj when he has the spiritual world? It's interesting. Because the devotees are there in the spiritual world. Well, Krishna came down to Braj 5,000 years ago, in spite of having all the enjoyment in the spiritual world, because there's certain relationships, there's certain pastimes that are only done in this material world. Did you know? Like in the spiritual world, Krishna doesn't have his baby pastimes. You know, he's not a little tiny baby. He's only 16 years old in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there's no demons. So you can't have the fullest extent of the rasa, indirect rasa of ghastliness. Krishna enjoys fighting. Just like some of you enjoy fighting. That's where our enjoyment came from. So Krishna, so Krishna does certain activities in this material world that aren't there in the spiritual world. I mean, for example, when Krishna appears as Lord Varaha, the boar incarnation, he kills Aranyaksha. And so there's this ghastliness, this anger, this fully expressed. So that's why Krishna comes, that's why Lord Bor comes down. To enjoy. Why the Lord comes as Lord Vamanadeva. Why the Lord comes as Ram. Ram is enjoying. He's even enjoying Vipralamba, separation. So you may say, what's the enjoyment of sending Sita away? Is he likes to torture poor little Sita? No. They're both enjoying. Because when there's intense separation on the spiritual platform, there's more connection. In the material world, when there's separation, there's separation. There's no connection. And even if you're in the same place as your dearly beloved, there's separation. Because you're not your bodies. You may be holding the hand of your dearly beloved wife, girlfriend, or whatever. But you're not really holding their hands. because they're not the body. So there's no connection. Right? What is the connection? There's no sambandha. No connection. It's just virtual reality. But connection means on the spiritual platform. Because when we chant, we have connection with Krishna. So when the Lord Ram and Sita are there and there's separation, that's more intense, that's a greater enjoyment of loving propensities. It's amazing. We cannot understand that. But in the spiritual platform, with the Lord and His devotees, that's the way it is. There's much more connection. So whatever Krishna comes down to do, whatever Lord Ram comes down to do, whatever Varaha, all the same person, it's all for enjoyment. An intensity. What is the enjoyment? The enjoyment is ras. Ras means taste. I mean, what's the enjoyment of eating? It's ras, isn't it? It's the taste. If I give you some food, let's say if we just boil vegetables with no spices or anything like that, isn't it? No taste, no ras. Like one time they were giving Prabhupada just boiled vegetables for his health, and Prabhupada said, let the starvation committee go to hell. Because there was no ras, you understand? Prabhupada said, a good cook cooks in such a way that even if you're not hungry, you want to eat. And a bad cook cooks in such a way that even if you are hungry, you don't want to eat. So it's ras. It's all based on ras, you know, taste. So Krishna's rasa raj. He's the king of ras. Also, rasajna, the knower of ras. Two words. Two words of Krishna. Rasajna and rasa raj. King of ras. So he's tasting ras, all these different flavors. The direct rasas. And the indirect rasas, the seven indirect rasas, like Buddha, humor. When Krishna is humorous, he's the most humorous. When Krishna is angry, he's the most angry. When Krishna is lusty, he's the most lusty. Of course, not like our lust, obviously. But that's Krishna's enjoying all these things. So, anyway. So getting back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's also Rasavya, the knower of Ras, Rasaraj, the king of Ras. And so, what is he coming down to enjoy? What he's coming down to enjoy is that he's looking, Krishna is looking at his greatest devotee, Srimati Radharani. And, of course, he loves her, obviously. He's controlled by her. That's one of her qualities. She could wrap Krishna around her little finger. Like all you ladies would like to wrap your husband around your little finger. And so Radharani has done that by her devotion. She's more powerful than Krishna. Not that she's stronger than Krishna, but she can control the person who is the most strong. So, therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Krishna is looking at Srimati Radharani and he's thinking, I want to understand her love by which she controls me. I want to understand that. I want to taste the ras, because as I said, Krishna's rasa is ya. He's the knower of ras. But the one ras he doesn't know, the one taste he doesn't experience is the taste of serving him. Just like we try to experience that too when we look at a mirror. Did you know that? When you look at a mirror, you try to appreciate yourself. You know, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the best sannyasi of them all? Or whatever. That's why in traditional temples and ashrams, they wouldn't have mirrors. You ask how the devotees put on tilak, they learned with that mirror. Because as soon as you look in a mirror, you become entranced. You become overwhelmed with ecstasy. So, so Krishna wants to see himself in the mirror. Actually, there is a pastime where Krishna sees himself in a reflection in the water. And he thinks, who is this beautiful person? And he falls in love with himself. That's the ultimate ego. Not false ego. False ego means that if you're actually ugly and you think yourself pretty, that's false ego. You have a material body. Like the ladies, they dress up, they put so much jewelry on, there's some nose rings, earrings, toe rings, everything. And they're just dressing a bag of biomucus in urine. Anyway, that's called ghastliness. So that's false ego. Like the lady will ask her husband, do I look beautiful today? He can't say it's just a bag of stool, or else they'll be divorced. He has to lie. He has to say, yes, you look beautiful. So, of course, he may be an illusion too. That's another thing. So, anyway, so Krishna, he wants to, he has real ego. So when he sees his beauty and appreciates his beauty, it's not false. He really is beautiful. He's the most attractive. He's Bhagavan. You know, all riches, all fame, renunciation, beauty, intelligence, strength. So, anyway, so Krishna wants to see himself in the mirror of Srimati Radharani's eyes. So in order to do that, he has to take the position of Srimati Radharani, right? Necessary. Also, the third one is, he wants to enjoy. Because the topmost enjoyment, even more than being God, is to enjoy serving God. A devotee enjoys more than God. Because he's serving God. He or she is serving God. So Srimati Radharani is enjoying like anything because she's serving. And she serves in so many interesting ways. Sometimes she serves by getting angry at God. That's her mom. Her anger. And Krishna enjoys that too. Sometimes Krishna is making her angry. Sometimes Krishna is saying to Radharani, your face is beautiful like many moons, Chandravali. That's Radharani's so-called competitor. And she's getting angry and she runs away. And Lalita stands there with a stick to beat Krishna if Krishna wants to come. And then Krishna has to dress as a woman to see Radharani. So even Krishna, everything that's here in this world was there in the spiritual world. It's like sometimes I was just in India and we were driving through Delhi and some lady knocked on the door to beg. It was actually a man. You know, you've seen it in India. Fiji, you have things like this? Many. It was actually a man. I was thinking, well, it's one of the ugliest ladies I've ever seen. So, but Krishna sometimes dresses up like a lady. So it's there in the spiritual world. It's so amazing. Everything we have here is there, but more is there. So Krishna dresses as a lady. So, anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to enjoy that particular rus, anger, like that. And so, he comes down in the mood and in the color, Krishna Varnam Tuisha Krishna. He's no more blackish, he's golden, he's taken the color of Srimati Radharani. And being in her position, he's exhibiting ecstasies, bhav, emotions, unlike those that he exhibits in his form as Krishna, in his manifestation as Krishna. Some of the pastimes, for example, are that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, feeling separation from Krishna, would run out of his room in the Gambira in Jagannath Puri in the middle of the night and escape, and then jump into the ocean, feeling so much separation. But we find, Jugayitam Nimishena Chakshushapur Shayayayam Jagatsalam Kodhu with the behaving. Feeling your separation, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks, he is in the mood of Radharani. Shishashtika is in the mood of Radharani, actually. He says, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment of separation to be like a yuga, to be like an eternity. That's amazing. And so he runs out in the middle of the night and jumps into the ocean. And then he's washed down many, many kilometers. Not that he just goes swimming in the ocean. In Jagannath Puri, there's an undercurrent. Anyone's gone swimming in Jagannath Puri before? Some of you have. There's an undercurrent. It just like pushes you down. So he went practically all the way to the sun god temple in Kornath. And all the devotees were looking for him. Where is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Where is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And then finally they walked down the beach and they came across a fisherman. And the fisherman was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And they said to the fisherman, Ah, have you seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Because they understood he had seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was chanting like crazy. And the fisherman said, No, I have not seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I know what he looks like. I have seen a ghost. And I was fishing with my fishing net. You know how they fish with a fishing net. And I pulled in this ghost, this dead body, and with elongated arms. The arms were like several cubits long. That's unbelievable. Because the Lord has a spiritual body, and when he exhibits a different emotional expressions, his body manifests in ways that we could never manifest. Like his arms were like like twice as long, or even longer. And legs, twice as long, or longer. And the fisherman said, I pulled in a ghost. And as soon as I touched that ghost, I became haunted. And that's why I'm chanting Hare Krishna. That's a good haunting, isn't it? To be haunted and just simply chant Hare Krishna. Actually, if you chant Hare Krishna, no ghost can stay around. Some of you don't have faith in the holy name. And you think, oh, I'm bothered by ghosts, so let me go to the Ghostbuster here in Fiji, right? I've heard devotees do that. They go, there's a Muslim Ghostbuster or witchcraft, voodoo in the villages. Isn't that true? Devotees go. But actually, if you chant the holy name, even accidentally, jokingly, then all the ghosts go away. Like that ghost can't remain. So we have to have faith. Actually, if you think you're haunted by ghosts, it's not ghosts that you're being haunted by, it's your own psychology. Because if you're chanting, the ghosts cannot remain. Like when Prabhupada was in John Lennon's estate, he got rid of the ghosts just by tapping on the wall and chanting Hare Krishna. So if you chant Hare Krishna, I've never gotten bothered by ghosts. I've gotten bothered by disciples, but not ghosts. They're more frightening to me. Because they don't listen. Anyways, isn't it? But ghosts, no. Since I've been chanting Hare Krishna. So this fisherman, he was saying, I'm haunted by a ghost. And Lord Chaitanya's associate, Swarup Damodar, he said to the fisherman, I am a ghostbuster. You know what a ghostbuster is? I mean, the person gets rid of the ghost. And he slapped the fisherman like this. He went, bam! He said, now you're free from the ghost. That's how we can get rid of ghosts. You know, the devotee says, I'm haunted by ghosts. For so what? That's what I do. I mean, I even have disciples who write me, I'm haunted by ghosts. Someone said, I was haunted by ghosts. Bogus. Nonsense. Idiot. You're not haunted by ghosts if you're chanting. So, anyway, so he slapped this fisherman. The fisherman, he said, where's the body? Where's the ghost? And they took him to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as I mentioned before, his arms were extended, legs were extended, and they started chanting Hare Krishna, and the arms and legs, they came back to normal proportion. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, where am I? So that's one instance of this intense need for Lumba Seva. Another instance was when Lord Chaitanya would see the sand dunes, just like you have sand dunes in Sinatoka here, he would see these big sand dunes in Jagannath Puri, and he would run towards them because thinking they were Govardhan. Hey, Radhe, Raja Devakaya. Hey, Nanda, you know, talk about the six ghost homes of Vrindavan. And the devotees had to stop. Another instance is, one time, one of the girls, the Devi Das, she was chanting the Gita Govinda by Jagadev Goswami. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so much in ecstasy, he didn't remember it was a lady, he didn't understand it was a lady chanting. And he was running to embrace the person who was chanting. Now for sannyasis, it's not a good idea to embrace ladies. Not a good idea. So he was running, and his Govinda, his servant, just grabbed him and said, oh, it's a lady. Oh, thank you. You saved my life. So many instances. Sometimes he would run at it, he would be in his room and hit his head on the walls because he was feeling so much separation from it. Intense love of Krishna and the mood of Srimati Radharani. And he had to have a servant who basically was the pillow, his pillow to prevent, you know, he had to, his servant had to lay there, and Lord Chaitanya had to keep his feet on the servant because the servant would wake up if Lord Chaitanya ever got up and started hitting his head on the sides of the Gambira. But this is intense emotion. So it's Divyonmadav, transcendental craziness, as we mentioned last night when we're talking to the devotees in Mandi, that when one is born during an eclipse, it usually means they're crazy. But Lord Chaitanya's craziness was transcendental, Divyonmadav, transcendental craziness. I mentioned last night that there was one politician in America who was born during an eclipse. We all mentioned his name. He's crazy. So, but we want, it's true. But we want transcendental craziness. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan also exhibited that mood of transcendental insanity. That's the verse I quoted from the Goswami Asika. Hey Radhe, Rajadeva K. Hey Nam, Shuno, Baha. Oh Radharani, oh Krishna, where are you? In this way, it's described the six Goswamis of Vrindavan would run around Vrindavan, Braj, always feeling separation. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inner mood, inner reason for coming down, to taste that mood of separation, to enjoy the mood of separation, to understand the love that Srimati Radharani has for him, and to see himself from her particular angle of vision, her particular perspective. This is the esoteric reason. So, what do we learn from that? This is very elevated subject matters. What we learn from that is that we could also be experiencing this mood of separation from Krishna. Of course, not Mahabhav on the same level as Srimati Radharani or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but we should execute our devotional service in this mood. Prabhupada said one time, the preaching of Krishna consciousness is in the mood of the gopis, in the mood of separation. Krishna, I need you. And of course, Lord Chaitanya teaches us that in his Shikshashtaka, that mood of separation, as we quoted the verse previously in class, Yugayitam Nimishena Chakshusha Bhavishayitam Shunyayitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Vidhaname. O Krishna, in feeling your separation, please come. It's like even in before, in the beginning of Prabhupada's movement, you had George Harrison who wrote this song in the mood of separation, right? My sweet Lord, I really want to see you, Lord. I really want to be with you, Lord. It takes so long, I know, you know. Hare Krishna. So probably very much like this. Very much like this song. So that's the message today, that we should be wanting Krishna so much. Lalyam. Lalyam means hankering. Right now we are hankering for things in this world. Isn't it? We want money. We want to be the controller. Bhogaishvari prasatanam tachataya pruta chetasam we want opulent life, sense gratification, we want all these things, and that's taking us away from Krishna. So instead we should be thinking, intense greed, I want Krishna. And that's Lord Chaitanya's message. So, any questions or comments about any of these points? Questions, comments? Yes, a book.
You're talking about the love of Krishna.
Yeah.
You're talking about experiencing that love. In the material world, that love, you can do that by chanting, doing good services, to get that love, get Krishna in our heart. So, when you fall in love in the material world, in a way, in love with the girl, you get the girl cup in the heart. But Krishna,
how do you know?
You see that there's like a heart shape that is with the name inside.
Yeah, I know. You mentioned this last night. But yeah, because the soul is in the heart. But she doesn't stay in the heart for very long. It takes about 6 months. And she leaves the heart. That's called infatuation. You understand? There's, scientifically, it's been analyzed that when one falls in love, it has the same effect on the brain as when one takes cocaine. It's breaking regular principles to fall in love. Anyway, so one becomes bewildered. That's why in the Vedic system, marriages were usually arranged. You understand? Because many times people fall in love, and then 6 months later they wake up and they say, oh my God, I married that person. Isn't it? And they weren't concerned with compatibility. Right? Compatibility means same nature, or, you know, work together. Because marriage means for the whole life they have to be able to work together nicely. But nobody thinks about that. They just think love. And it's not love. It's lust. Because they're trying to enjoy themselves using someone else. Just like that story of liquid beauty. You understand? Like the prince, he came to this girl. And he thought, I want to enjoy her. But when she became ugly, he thought, ugh. When she showed the source of her beauty, you know the story? We don't need to tell the story in class. Then, so what is this infatuation about? Real love means a desire to please the other person. It's not that you actually have the other person in the heart either, because you can't see the other person. The other person is not the body. What you have is their body in your heart. You know, you're meditating on their body, how you could enjoy the body. That's the naked reality of material love. Sorry about that. So anyway, so we want to experience emotions, and those emotions can be experienced in Krishna consciousness. Everything is there. There's humor, there's ghastliness, there's, I mean, just like recently I was talking about the material world, how nasty it is. That's ghastliness. And then I'm using some humor. So we can use all these wrestlers in Krishna service. Is that alright? But don't fall in love. You're married. Too old for that stuff. So any other questions? Alright, so thank you very much. Tonight we're going to have a nice program, and we'll speak about the exoteric reasons for Lord Chaitanya's advent. In other words, sankirtan and preaching and many pastimes of Lord Chaitanya's saving people. Like when he had the tigers and the deer kissing each other and dancing and the jar come to forest. That's the exoteric. Why is Lord Chaitanya so merciful? I just want to end with this. Because he's in the mood of Radharani. Because Radharani is so merciful, that's why the devotees in Braj, they're always chanting Radhe, Radhe, Shri Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Because Radharani is more merciful than Krishna. Krishna's not so merciful. A little bit. Hey, Krishna, Karna, Masindu. He says, surrender to me. That's what you have to do. You know, he like puts a gun to your head. You better surrender. You're not the body. But Radharani, Dina Hina Yata Chilo Harinamu, she's so merciful. So when Lord Chaitanya, when Krishna is in the mood of Radharani, he becomes very soft. Anyway, we'll speak about that tonight. Okay, all glories to His divine grace, and Lopa, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.